Blog Talk Radio.
James 4.
From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy, and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Amen, amen. Good morning. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you to the program this morning. It's Saturday, March the 16th, 2019, and we pray all is well with you. We're going to open a prayer and just get into the conversation today. We're just going to give us some words of encouragement, some words of edification, some words that will help you get through today, tomorrow, next week, and every day thereafter, every day as we walk this life as Christian men, learning how to lead and love our families in the church, in the community, and in our homes. Amen. Father God, we say thank you this morning. Thank you, God, for who you are and what you're doing, Lord God. Father, we thank you, God, for salvation today, God. I thank you for salvation, God. I thank you, God, for what you've done in my life, oh God. I thank you for redemption and reconciliation, God. I thank you for a strong marriage, God. I thank you for my children and grandchildren and their lives, oh God. Thank you, God, for all those, oh God, that we're connected with, oh God. Father, I pray today for the body of Christ, God. For every member out there, oh God. For you, oh, you know who your church is, God. And I pray, God, that you would keep a hedge of protection around them through the trials and temptations and tests, Lord God, that they would be faithful to you and to your word. Strengthen them, oh God, and keep them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Excuse me. Amen, amen. Well, we're here again live on Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, we're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And we just talk about so many issues and have an open conversation and try and find solutions in God's words and how to apply that word to our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to be discussing a couple of things. We're going to talk about the godly man. This is a completion of the series we've been doing for the last couple of shows, The Godly Man, some of the characteristics, and the words of encouragement. to be a godly man, to be a godly husband and father. And just to encourage the brothers out there, again, as always, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, and the men that I bring on the program to share, we're here to encourage. We're not here to be examples, because we working this thing out as ourselves. We're not perfect. We don't claim to be perfect. We don't put ourselves on a pedestal. We don't say, try and be like me, look at me, look at me. We say, look at the Word of God, look at the Word of God, and compare yourself. Because, again, we believe here at Israel's Christian Men's Talk that the Word of God is the blueprint, is the chalk stick, is the measuring stick for our lives. We look to one another for encouragement and strength as we try to, as we work out, live a life committed to God, submitting to His Word, and being shaped and molded by His Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today we're going to touch on how a godly man knows how to connect. And for fathers and husbands, I'm talking about the fathers first. Let me start there. It's important that we know how to connect with our children. Sometimes it's a struggle. It's easy for our kids when they're young, when they're elementary school, toddlers, you know, when they are like around under 10, under 12, we're Superman to them. We're everything to them. We're our dad. We're fun. We're good. You know, we're Superman, basically. We can do no wrong. But then as they get older, we have to continue to know how to connect them as teens. So brothers out there who know, who have teenagers, have 20-year-olds, have older children who struggle with identity, who struggle with who they are, struggling trying to fit in into with their peer groups and a lot of things that go through, as it's just a normal emotional growth process. But we as fathers are responsible. Because, again, fatherhood is a lifetime call that God has given us. Amen? So we have to be able to connect, knowing how to connect with them at different levels. Because as you know, we cannot father a 6-year-old the same way we father a 16-year-old, the same way we father an 18-year-old, the same way we father a 20-year-old, the same way we father a 35-year-old. We have to be able to grow and be secure and rooted and grounded to be able to continually speak into the lives of our children, because children need fathers. If we look around us today and we see in this culture the challenges that are going on, a lot of young men who never had fathers or strong, positive male role models in their lives, this is why we have a lot of the struggles we have in the culture today and the challenges that we're dealing with men and young men, even older men, who just don't know what it means to be a man and choose other ways to try and identify, try to justify, try to live up to a certain, a image of manhood, which is really unhealthy to our culture and unhealthy to themselves. But again, as husbands and fathers, we have to know how to connect. Now, for the husbands, I was told a long time ago, I think it was at a marriage, either it was a marriage weekend, a marriage retreat, or a marriage session, that we have to learn our spouses. We have to get master's degrees, PhDs in our spouses. We are called as husbands to learn and know our wife and know the needs of our wives and how to serve them, how to be servant leaders. We have to be able to set the temperature in the home. We're called to set the temperature spiritually, emotionally. And again, this is why being a husband is not an easy task. It's not something we take lightly. It is a call. And remember, even if we go back to the most traditional marriage, the call is that we ask this woman to be our spouse for life. We asked her to be our wife. Now we have to live up and provide in all areas. Because we called it, you know, in Old Testament times or even in past cultures, as a young man would take a wife, he would take his wife from the covering and authority of her father, and he would become that covering and authority. Amen? So that basic principles you can carry over. I don't care if we're in the 21st century, 25th century, or we think we're more sophisticated at in marriages. Well, that goes back to what biblical marriage is all about and what marriage is, because, again, in this culture, they're trying to redefine it. But that's another show. But today, we were talking about, as far as husbands, we have to know spouse. We have to know how to connect with her, her likes or dislikes, where she is spiritually, where she is emotionally. And then let me not say, I will not say it simplistically like it's easy, but it's something we have to do prayerfully, through talking to our wives, listening to our wives, reading the word with our wives, praying with our wives, understanding that the first ministry of a man, a married man, is his wife. His second ministry is his children. And everything else comes after. Because, again, it's not like it's hard. It's not like something that we don't already do. For some of us out there, we focus on like careers, our jobs. We do anything to move ahead in the careers. We do anything to move in our education. We went to school. We saved. We went to night school. We got our bachelor's and the master's. And some of us just getting a high school diploma, getting a trade, getting a skill set where we could earn money. We did a lot of things and had to sacrifice for those things. So we have to bring that same passion, urgency, and desire into our marriages and into our role as fathers. Amen? So we have to learn how to connect as men to the things around us that's important. Amen? And amen. And along with that, we're going to talk about the importance of, as brothers, we have to know how to manage our priorities. That's balance. I just say that. A pastor recently was at a marriage fellowship, and we were talking about balancing. We have to learn to balance. We have to find balance in our lives that we make time for our spouses, even with all that we have to do. That we may think we have greater responsibility in our wives, but we have to know how to balance. We have to know how to balance between family, between work, between ministry, between all the things that come out of life. No matter where you are in life, what's going on with you in life, the importance is to know how to manage priorities. And the most simplest way I can share that with you is to learn to balance our lives, have a balance in our lives, and know when it's time to take a rest, when it's time to step back. And the biggest thing I learned from a lot of pastors tell me this, and men of God that I know, is sometimes you just got to say no, because you can't be everywhere and do everything and still be balanced. Sometimes as Christian men, even in ministry, we have to learn to say no. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say no. So we have to learn how. We have to know how. And we can do that again. God will lead us. God will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will speak into your life that you don't have to be everywhere for everything. Sometimes you need to step back. When's the last time you and your wife just got away? When's the last time you and your wife just sat in your home, quiet, without the TV on, without the whatever, the music on? When do you take time with your kids? Just do something else. I know everybody complains now that the kids are always on the phone, but that's because their parents allow them to be on their phones. Because again, there's nothing's really changed. Because back in the day, it was the kids was always in front of the TV, so they wouldn't bother the parents. The difference between that and phones and tablets and computers is the same thing. It's distracting them, so you don't have to engage in them. Just consider that. Because as a parent, as having minor children, you always have opportunity to shut it down. To shut it down and spend time and teach them how to talk, teach them how to engage in interpersonal skills. I think that's what we struggle with a lot, because now we don't have to actually look at people with an eye. Back in the day, you were told to look people in the eye when you talk to them. Now, because of technology, we don't have to do that. But these are skills that you're going to need. These are bigger skills that you're going to need to build real friendships, real relationships, and real connections with other human beings. So again, as fathers, husbands, do we learn how to manage our time and set priorities in our lives? And that word is going to be called balance. Balance. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to take a commercial break right here and let the brothers know that are listening out there. For all of you who have called in at 646-668-2636, or you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. and every Thursday night at 8 p.m. and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. So we encourage you to continue to call and join us. If you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Farr and you listen to the archive of our past shows, some of our previous programs, you can listen there. Also, if you check the link on the page, I believe it's on the right-hand side. If you click the follow button, you will get the updates when we are live or when we upload new programs or new shows. Amen. Coming up. coming up this month. Not this month, I'm sorry. April the 27th. April the 27th. Mark your calendars. Mark your calendars for April the 27th. Man up. Man up. April the 27th, 2019. We're having our Man Up for 2019. Privileges and responsibility of God's man. The privileges and responsibilities of God's man. We're going to have an open, transparent discussion, finding solutions for God in God, from God's word, on how to apply the word to our lives. That's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We encourage you to come out and join us. If you go on Issues Christian Men's Talk, our Facebook page, you see the flyer there. You see the link is up. Coming this week, we will have the PayPal link up so you can register online. We're asking for a $20 donation with registration to cover the lunch. We're going to serve lunch and also tools and resources that you will be given as a toolbox to take home with you that you can do a tune-up on. You can do a tune-up on your own in your own quiet and private time and devotional time. So we encourage you, come out and join us. It's going to be held in, for those here locally in Baltimore, it's going to be in Brooklyn Park Library. I believe it's at 111th Avenue in Brooklyn Park, Maryland. Again, you can go on Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. The flyer will be up. The flyer is up. And again, this week, the PayPal link will be up for us to start registration. We're asking for a $20 donation. For my alumni, for brothers out there, if you've been to our Man Up event again, we're asking you this year to just bring one brother with you. If you were blessed by it any of the previous events, we ask that you would bring a brother with you. Bring a brother that's never been the first time, unsaved brother, brothers on the fence, brothers on the fringe, that he might come and be encouraged by the company of men and also be encouraged by the discussion and the teaching. Amen? Amen. And for those out there who have never been to a Man Up event, let me share this with you. These Man Up events, they are facilitated and they're held in a different manner. It is not a lecture series. It is not a sermon. It's an open discussion from the Word of God about the things that affect us as men. And we're going to be talking about privileges and responsibilities of a godly man. And we're going to share the wisdom that's going to be in the room. We're going to share the knowledge. We're going to be able to sow. We're going to be able to answer some questions. So I pray that you will come out and consider joining us. Amen. That's on Saturday, April the 27th at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And the doors are open at 9:30, and we will be starting promptly at 10 a.m. And lunch will be served. Amen. So thank you. And for all those who are committed and those who are listening online, I see you there, brothers. If you have called in at 646-668-2636, press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation. And if you have any questions or anything you want to share with the brothers that are listening, amen. Well, today, going on the show today, I'm going to continue. I'm going to talk a little bit about forgiveness and the importance of forgiveness. Here's some of the character traits as men of God that I just want to touch on and encourage you in this moment, in this time that we have together. Forgiving. It's very important how we have to realize how much we were forgiven by Christ and what God has done through Christ's blood and to redeem us back. So being able to forgive others it enables us to forgive. It enables us to see people as God sees us. We have to look at people. Sometimes they're just human beings. Sometimes they do what they do for different reasons we can't see under the surface. But that's who they are. But can we forgive them? And when that means forgive them, does that mean we don't hold grudges? We're not vindictive towards them, and we don't hold grudges. I think that's the biggest thing we have to think about. You know, they did this to me 15 years ago. They did that to me years ago and last year or whatever. And I'm never going to diss. I'm never going to trust. I'm never going to talk to them. Never speak to them again. This goes on in families. This goes on in churches. This goes on in friendships. Because of mistakes that people made. Remember that you are not perfect. You and I are not perfect. And we can't expect the people around us to be perfect. And this is what we're talking about, is that we have a forgiveness. And in forgiveness, it's not that we ignore the wrongs that people do. It's that they made a mistake, and maybe they didn't know any better. You know, sometimes we think people are somewhere where they're not, and when things happen and they make mistakes or do the wrong thing or do something, really, we really don't care until it affects us. That's the other thing we have to remember. We let a person, we know that's not doing something correct, doing something wrong, but we let it go until it affects us, and all of a sudden, we all upset because what they've been doing, now it's touched us and touched our lives. So now we have a problem with forgiveness because how dare they treat us the way they've been treating people all the time, and you've been watching it and not saying anything. So we have to be able to heal relationships and do that. That's the only way we can do that is by reaching out to each other, having patience with one another as we grow. Now, I don't want this to be taken that we don't condone sin, but we have to be patient with people, for asking people to be changed and be redeemed by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and even for those in the body of Christ. You never know what someone's going through or why they do what they do and what affects the people's behavior and activities. So, again, forgiveness is very important. That because God forgave us all our sins, and I don't mean the sins that we like to have testimony about and we want to tell everybody about. It's the stuff that we know that we too ashamed to truly share. But God knows, and we know. And we know what God has brought us from, because some of the stuff, again, you know, testimonies are fine. Testimonies can encourage one another, but we all know we don't testify to everything that we have done because we just don't want people to see us in that light. And sometimes I think there's a time and a season for all parts of our testimony. We just have the wisdom and discernment to be able to know when to share it. Because sometimes sharing of a testimony doesn't necessarily do any good for those who are listening. Amen. That's another subject we can discuss. But again, forgiveness, forgiving. To understand that God has forgave us, and we must show that Christian love to our brothers and sisters in the church. And the church, I mean, you know, it sometimes it's funny about the church. Folk come to the church expecting something. I think the expectation of people who call themselves Christian by other people who call themselves Christians, I think the expectation is too high. Sometimes we have to love people right where they are, and then watch God and then be a witness to their growth and development. I mean, how we handle it and how we correct each other, because that's where it goes back to accountability in the body of Christ, accountability for men, who's in your life, who's speaking into your life, who's mentoring and being discipled. Because I think what the problem is, we don't really disciple folk. We have a superficial connection with folk. We're not a real fellowship. So thereby, there's no real accountability where we can see how God is using the relationship, the church, the body, to help grow and mature people. Because we have superficial, quote-unquote, fellowship. We don't have real connection with one another. I like to always say, when we talk about koinonia and fellowship, we have to look at the book of Acts. We have to look at the first century church. When these folk came to Christ and confessed Christ as Lord and Savior, they had rejected every other thing, every other God and culture, to come to Christ. So now they were interdependent on each other. And because we live in this 21st century, we're not really that connected unless we strive to be. Because there's churches on every corner. There's churches out in the city. There's churches out in the county. You can live in the county, go to church in the city, and only time you see them folk is at the church. You know, and you live in the city, you go out to the county, whatever. You know, the church is in church even today in this 21st century culture. Not a lot of people live where the church is, and the church is not really reaching out to where the church, to the people who live near the church. You know, I'll say it like this. I've known churches that they are in a neighborhood, but most of the people who come to the church drive into the neighborhood on Sunday and fill up the streets with their cars and park and everything else. And then when church is over, all those cars leave. Nobody walks to church, okay? Let me put it that way. I know that may be old-fashioned, but, however, just a principle. I won't just say you have to walk to church, but are the churches that are in the communities affected within the people who live right near the building? Amen? And that's what I'm talking about when we talk about fellowship and accountability and connecting one to another, getting past the superficial and believing that God is building his church and his people. Church is not a building. Church is the people. Amen? Amen. We've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, I'm here every Monday night at 8 p.m. every Thursday night at 8 p.m. and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. So I encourage you to call in at 646-668-2636, or you can always listen to us online at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr. Amen. Well, in closing, I want to share this with you as encouragement to the brothers out there. This is something that was given to me a while back from the Christian Men's Network, one of the men's ministries that I connected with earlier in my salvation walk in the early 90s. And I just want to share this to encourage the brothers out there. Amen. The core of a man is formed in the breath of his father. As God created man from the dust and breathed life into him, so a young man receives his centering when held close in the arms of his father. The word family means father's house. There are six essential gifts, attributes of character and life that every man must give to his sons and daughters. They are love, acceptance, value, intimacy, discipline, and security. When a father gives his children love, they grow healthy lives. When he gives acceptance, they gain personal affirmation. When he gives value, they increase their sense of destiny. When he gives intimacy, they are able to worship God as well as build healthy relationships. When a father disciplines his children, he shows that he truly loves them. When a man provides security, it reinforces their sense of God's love and grace towards them. These are essentials that cannot be held back or given to a wife or pastor to accomplish. This is a man's role as a father. This is just what is expected as a man. When we make a baby, we become a father. It's just what we do. Let's build a new generation of great fathers by becoming great dads. It's never too late to start. Start now, and I know you can. That's by Paul Lewis Cole from the Christian Men's Network. And with that, brothers, I wish you a wonderful and a blessed weekend. Again, seek God. Continue to pray for your wife, your spouse, and your families, and I'll continue to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you and continue to move forward. Never, never, never give up. Amen.